Okay. We would like to welcome you today and thank you for joining us as we ponder three symbols to help us see the real meaning of Christmas: the cradle, the cross, and the crown. The first symbol is the cradle. Long ago in Bethlehem, lying in a cradle, were the hopes and dreams of a dying world. Those chubby little hands that clasped the straw in its manger crib were soon to open blind eyes, unstop deaf ears, and still troubled seas. That cooing voice would soon teach men of a new way and call out to raise the dead. Before too long, those tiny feet were to be pierced on Calvary's cross. That manger crib in remote Bethlehem became the link that had bound a lost world to a loving God. Now we will look to the preschool and kindergartners, and then the fifth and sixth grade class, to reflect a little bit more on the cradle.
Jesus, you are my Messiah, my one and only Savior. You are my dream, my one and only hope.
Jesus, you are my King, my one and only Lord. You have adopted me into your royal family, in which I cry, Abba, Father.
I long to be in your arms, dwelling safely in your presence. I long to know you, God. I long to experience your love.
At your manger, I give my gifts to you. I surrender to your perfect grace. I worship my King, giving thanks daily for your love.
At your manger, I give my sins to you. I surrender to your righteousness. I long to live for you, displaying godly character to you.
At your manger, I give my care to you, for you care a lot about me, for every day I do not want, since you are my shepherd.
At your manger, I give you my past, knowing you'll provide me a great future. I press forward to the things ahead, forgetting those that are behind.
At your manger, I give you my enemies. Love them and take care of them, for they do not know what they do, but you know what's best for them.
At your manger, I release my faith, knowing your peace will protect me. I walk it out every day, knowing it has great reward.
At your manger, I give my life to you. Guide me in all truth and love, for I revere and respect your authority, knowing you are the way, the truth, and the life.
At your manger, I humble myself. Help me to be strong in you. Help me to serve you and others while being strong in you.
my one and only answer. I give you the song of praise for all you have done.
As we think about Jesus in that cradle in Bethlehem, let's consider the prophecies concerning his birth. First, God set his salvation plan in motion as soon as Adam and Eve chose to sin. Thousands of years ago, God promised that her seed would bruise Satan's heel. In Micah 5:2, we are told that Jesus will be born in Bethlehem, and Isaiah 7:14 reveals a very specific prophecy saying, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel."
The miracle of the virgin birth, which we are celebrating here today, is recorded for us in the Gospels of the birth of Luke and Matthew. Luke chapter 1 states, "Now in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel said to her, 'Fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and we shall call his son Jesus.'"
Were Mary and Joseph the only ones who knew that a Savior was born on that Christmas night? No. The scriptures tell us about others who were aware of what took place that night so long ago. The first and second grade class will now share the words from Luke 2:8-16.
Luke tells us that the shepherds in the fields were told the news by angels. Some far in the east were looking for signs of the Messiah.
"And there were in the same country shepherds abided in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid.
And the angel said, 'Fear not, I bring you good tidings, a great joy, which shall be all people.
For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.'
And suddenly there was with
with the angels, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God.
And saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another,
let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass.
And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
We also hear of the wise men from the east searching for their new king. Our third and fourth grade class will share about their experiences with the baby in the cradle.
In Matthew 2 we read, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.
And Herod said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you find him, tell me, so that I may worship him too.
And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And it came into the house and saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him.
And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way.
Can we be the wise men of this day and time, offering to the Savior our gifts expressing love divine?
Give him your gold and raise your incense prayer, graciously all suffering and share as Christ the cross did bear.
And live as wise men, following the star, the light of Christ shining bright, guiding your heart.
Proclaim him as Lord and you for your King, the light of nations with eternal life he brings.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Christ our light is King.
While the cradle is a common symbol you might think of at Christmas, today we'd like you to consider another symbol that is typically thought of at Easter, the cross. On that first Christmas, there was joy mixed with sadness, for Jesus was born to die for our sins. Years later, while approaching the cross, Jesus said, to this end I was born, and for this I came into the world. To the Christian, the joy of Christmas is not limited to his birth, because we know it was his death and his resurrection that gave meaning to his birth, and the hope of eternal life to all people. It is only in the cross, our second symbol of Christmas, that the world can find a solution to its problems.
In Psalms 22, written by King David over 500 years before Jesus' birth, it contains several references to what Jesus would suffer. Verse 1 laments him being forsaken by God. Verse 6 through 8 talks about how Jesus would be rejected by his people. And verse 18 mentions how his clothing would be gambled over. In Zechariah 12:10 we read, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. This prophecy was written over 500 years before the Romans ever performed crucifixions. Our Lord knew that his miraculous birth was only the beginning of what he would do while he was here on earth.
mercies, incarnation, marvel at this miracle. For the Virgin gently holds the glorious impossible. Hallelujah, 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 glorious impossible. He was bruised for our transgressions, and he bears the eternal scars. He was raised for our salvation, and his righteousness is ours. Praise the wisdom of the Father, who has spoken through his Son. Speaking still, he calls us to the glorious impossible. Alleluia. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glorious impossible.
The world was filled with the darkness of sin and desperately needed a Savior. God promised such a deliverer through the prophets.
Isaiah wrote, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those walking in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. This light came to us through Jesus Christ. He was born to be a light in our darkness."
Concerning Jesus, the Apostle John said, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men. For the most part, people did not recognize this light. Often, Jesus spoke of his mission."
At one point, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
God does not desire that humans stay in the darkness that they created for themselves. At Christmas, we can remember this wonderful gift of deliverance.
Jesus said, "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in the darkness."
The light brought to this world through Christ continues to shine. His Spirit dwells in us, sending light to the world. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," made his light shine into our hearts to show us the light of the knowledge of the glorious God in the face of Christ.
His light shines through his church. Each part of the body can be a beacon of love to a world that still does not know the light has come. Jesus spoke these words, "You are a light of the world. Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven."
The light of Christ will shine for eternity. We carry his light now and will live forever in its warmth. The Apostle John records this vision. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it."
Our third symbol we will consider today is the crown. At his crucifixion, Jesus was crowned with a crown of thorns and enthroned on a cross. Placed above his head were the words written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin stating, "The King of Jews." After his death, many, including his closest followers, thought their king was gone forever.
But just days later, Jesus appeared to his disciples in a locked room and stated, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. John 20:20. Yes, Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is coming back someday. Only when he returns, he will not come as a babe in a cradle or hang on a cross. The next time he comes, it will be in a blaze of glory, and he will be crowned Lord of all.
In the bleak midwinter, all creation groans for a world in darkness, frozen like a stone. Light is breaking in a stable for a throne, and he shall reign forevermore.
to us a child is born, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore.
If I were a wise man, I would travel far. And if I were a shepherd, I would do my part.
Poor as I am, I will give to him my heart, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Unto us a child is born, the King of Savior of the world appears, the promise of eternal years, Christ the Messiah, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Unto us a child is born, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore.
What a great and unfathomable love God has for each of us. He loved us enough to come to earth in human form and then die for our sins. Now we can look forward to his return as a king over all, to whom every knee shall bow. As we draw near to the end of our program today, let us look at the promises we find in Revelation 21:3-5, where God says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things of this earth are passed away. Behold, I make all things new."
In this Christmas season, may we rejoice when we remember not only the cradle, but also the cross and the crown. The entire Sunday school will now sing "When We All Get to Heaven." They will sing verses 1, 3, and 4. Please join us in singing verse 4. It can be found on page 351 in the Hymns of Zion.
Bye. Well, I don't have any idea how you follow an act like that. So forgive me for a few fumbling words before I even start. I'll try not to make this too long. But first of all, thank you very much to all of the children, young adults that shared with us today. We really, really appreciate it. It's such a great reminder. And I know the title here, what the cradle, the cross, and the crown. Who would have guessed and who would have known? If we go back to think about the, I just want to make a few comments. The fifth and sixth grade saying, what child is this? And what went through my mind, I don't know what went through yours, but when Jesus was born, how many people could have envisioned who he was and who he would be? He was another child born. What child is this? What child is this? This was Jesus, going to be Jesus, our King, our Savior, who's in heaven to be with us. Thanks for singing that song. Because we go down then to the first and second grade, and they sang, how great our joy. Joy, joy, joy. That's who this child was. And that's who he means to be. And you know what my thought was? Children took the mic, and you spoke up so well. Thank you. What child is this? What will be? You know, this Jesus you taught us about this afternoon, he wants to be your brother. And as you get older, we expect that God will move your heart that you can be his brother. Is it possible? Yeah. Glorious impossible. Seventh and eighth grade sang to us. And then he shall reign forevermore. I know this is probably a little bit outside of Christmas, but I want to relate to you, if I can, just one story about forever. I don't know if you've thought about what forever really is, but many years ago, the first time I went on a so-called mission trip to Juarez, Brother Mike Fichter would know all about that, Mexico, there was a group of Sunday school kids there that sang that song, Friendship. You have friends that you were up here. I held Theo, my little three-year-old, and when he could see, he said, that's so-and-so, that's his friend. Friends. And the last verse of that song, you know, it just hit me, and I've never forgotten it yet. I'll forget a lot of things. I haven't forgotten that one yet. But the last verse of that song, I think it's the last verse, yes. I only want to read the chorus. It says, when at last these ties are riven, because we're going to talk just briefly about that too. When at last these ties are riven and we're called to go on high, oh, how sweet to meet in heaven friends forever, you and I. We meet a lot of friends on this earth, but the friends forever are the friends we meet who are redeemed by the shed blood of this Jesus. And I want everyone to be friends forever, and that is forever. And so I love the last song, when we all get to heaven. You know, my daughter Kara was sitting beside me and reached over to just to touch me. Friends, when we all get to heaven. You know, I'm waiting to go there to see Charlene. You all knew her, or quite a few of you knew her, I would say. But when we all get to heaven, and you know what my thought was? I looked up, and I don't know how many people were up there. Somebody can give me a count, but I think there was over 100 standing there. I really do, with the teachers and the children. Over 100. And when we all get to heaven, we want to see all of you there. All of you. And it's only through this child, the cradle, this child, the cross, this child, the crown, this child, our intercessor in heaven above. Thanks for listening. Let's arise in prayer to close. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that through the innocency of little children, we learn more about Thee. We learn more about Thy greatness. We learn more about what this child, who this child really is and was. And Father, we know, as we walk here and we want to worship Him and we want to be more like Him, how far we are from that. To have the love, to have the dedication, to have the desire to walk close to Him at all times. Bless every child and young man and young woman that participated in this program today. Bless them special. Put a special part of Thy love in their hearts, that as they grow up and go through the bumps of life that come, with transformation from an innocent child to an accountable adult, that thou would be with them. And that little lump of love that's in their hearts today would grow, and they would have a desire to be friends forever. Friends forever with their siblings, with their parents, with their church, with their many friends across the land, forever. Help us to focus on that time when we'll all get to heaven and we'll be there in that great mansion. Some of us are growing older and we think of sunset of life. And we know that beautiful sunset hymn that says, "It's sunset and I'm going home. God paints the clouds in the evening sky to show me the path to the palace on high, and stars mark the pathway, lest my feet should roam. At sunset, and I'm going home." It seems like a long ways for the kindergartners, but it's very, very short. So, Father, be with us all. Use us as it will be pleasing to Thee. Help us to celebrate the true joy and the true reason for this season, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.